We're going to be looking at Psalm 119. And so let's get our Bibles out tonight and turn to Psalm 119. And we're going to be studying together through verses 129 through 136. And it's good to see everybody back with us tonight. As you open your Bibles there, let's consider this song that we have just sung, which is taken really from Psalm 119. A precious Bible book divine. Lamp to my feet and light to my way. Those are very words that come from this psalm, because this is a psalm that glorifies God and God's word specifically, because the word of God is able to give us everything that we need for life and for godliness, Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. And so we know that it furnishes us to every good work. And the psalmist in Psalm 119 makes that clear. There are 176 verses in this psalm that magnify and lift up the Word of God. What a wonderful psalm it is. And we've been studying through it occasionally, and tonight we're going to continue to study through it to see if we can glean these key messages from this psalm. And this evening we're going to be looking, as we said, at Psalm 119, verses 129 through verses 136. And in this particular psalm, every single letter of the Hebrew alphabet is used. And it's used from the beginning all the way to the end. And each section of this psalm, each line of each section begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And you may have in your Bibles that letter above this section. It's the letter Pei. And in this section then, in the Hebrew, every line begins with that letter Pei. And it's as if the author of this psalm is saying, every letter of the alphabet and every word, therefore, that there is in language seeks to glorify God and His Word. And it's to be used, and our words and our letters are to be used for that purpose as well. Well, let's look tonight at this psalm, and we're going to see that in this psalm, God in His Word gives us direction. Look specifically at verse 133. The psalmist writes, "Direct my steps by your word." And that's sort of the theme that we're going to take from this particular section as we think about God's word giving us direction. Let's read through these verses and then let's look at each one individually. "Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes, because men do not keep your law." Well, what is the psalmist saying in this psalm, and what can we understand from it? Well, there's three things that I want us to think about in relationship to this part of the psalm. First of all, God's word gives us direction for our soul. And when we talk about our soul, we're going to be talking about our will and our intellect and our emotions, our soul. Second, God's word gives direction for the problem of sin. And that is reflected here in verses 132 through 134. And then finally, God's word gives direction for our attitudes. And there are two attitudes that are expressed in the final two verses of the psalm. Our attitude toward God, first of all, and secondly, our attitude toward sinners. And what is that attitude to be? So let's look at these things tonight as we think about God's Word giving direction. And we want God's Word to give direction for our life. First of all, God's Word gives direction for our soul. Look at verse 129. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. What are we talking about when the psalmist says, my soul keeps them? What is he talking about? He is talking about me engaging my will to desire God and His Word. My soul keeps them. I can make a decision in my life to keep the commandments of God. And that's what we want to do. We want to keep God's commandments. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So, you see, it's not just about saying, Lord, Lord. We have got to keep the Lord's commandments. John says this in 1 John 2 and verses 3 and 4. He says, now by this, we know that we know him when we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now that's pretty strong, isn't it? But we have got to engage our will and our soul to keep God's commandments. But listen to what John said there. We can know that we have a relationship with Jesus if we keep his commandments. It's really that simple. And those who don't keep his commandments but say, hey, I know who Jesus is, but then over here they don't follow his commandments, guess what? They are lying. They are not telling the truth. They really don't know who Jesus is. Now that's not me saying that. That's the Word of God that says that. 1 John 2 and verses 3 through 4. Yes, it's strong language, but that's exactly what the Word of God says. We have to engage our will to keep God's commandments. And when we do that, God will give us direction. He gives direction for our will. We must engage it to keep the commandments. But then He gives direction for our intellect. Our intellect needs something too. You know, look at verse 130. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. You see, God's words are able to enlighten us. They're able to illuminate our path like we sang in the song. It gives a lamp to our feet and a light to our path so that we can see where we're going in this life. And God's words help us and do that for us. Colossians 2 and verse 3 tells us that, well, today, Jesus is the one who illuminates us. Jesus is the one who enlightens us through His Word. And it's in Him that are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2 and verse 3. You know, the Bible contains everything that we need to be intellectually challenged for the rest of our life. I promise you, you could start studying the Bible when you're a child and study it all of your life, and you will never, ever stop learning because it is the Word of God. And only God's Word could so intellectually challenge someone as to do that. Jesus gives us all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10, we read there that God has now revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. What a blessing of the intellect, right? To know that we have light and immortality. And where does that come? It comes through the gospel. And that is a great thing because God's Word gives direction for our intellect. But God's Word also gives direction for my emotions. Look at the psalmist's emotions here in verse 131. He uses something that he uses a figure, excuse me, here that we would normally associate with a dog or an animal of some sort. He says, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Have you ever seen a dog who's been running out in the sun and he comes in and he's just panting, you know, his tongue is just laying out there and he's just panting rapidly back and forth looking for a drink of water. He's desperate, right? He's wanting that drink. And I can tell you that, you know, when I get out there and run and I get toward the end of the race and I turn on the, you know, the last little leg there of effort and I get to the end of that finish line and I stop and I'm panting. I am desperate for oxygen, right? Trying to get every breath in there because of all the energy that has been expended in running. That one figure symbolizes for the psalmist the great emotion that he has for God and His Word. He is so desperate for the Word of God. It's like a dog that's been out running, desiring to get that drink of water. It's like a man who's been running and gasping for breath at the end of his run. That's the kind of emotion that is engendered in the psalmist's mind here as he thinks about his relationship with the Word of God. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Wow. What a picture. What a picture. And that is the picture that we need to have within our life as well. Our deep desire for God's Word. And the pinnacle of our emotions, what is it? It's love. When we love other people and we love God with all of our heart, and our soul, and our mind, and our strength. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. That is the first commandment, to love God with all of our heart. And to love others is the second commandment. And we need to be thinking about how we can engage our emotions in loving God. And in pursuing the kingdom of God. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6 and verse 33. These are powerful, emotion-packed scriptures that should motivate us to seek after God and His will. And so God's Word gives us direction for our emotions. And we can control our emotions. Emotions are not things that just happen. And they're not under our control. No, we can control them. And we should, in service to the Lord. And so let's think about how we can do that. How we can engage our emotions for God. So God's Word gives me direction in regard to my soul. The will of my soul. The intellect of my soul. The emotions of my soul. Right here. 129 through 131. But now let's look at verses 132 through 134. God's Word gives me direction regarding the problem of sin. Now look at that here in these verses. Look at verse 132. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. And the first area where I need direction for the problem of sin is within me. What's in my life and within you, within your life. Anytime we deal with the problem of sin, we've got to look to self first and deal with our own sins first. And then we can help other people. And, you know, that's basically what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7. We said you got to get the beam out of your own eye before you can help somebody else, or the mote out of your own eye before you can help somebody else. Get the beam. I got it backwards. Switch that. Get the beam out of your own eye to help somebody else get the mote out of their eye, right? Okay. If I thought about it long enough, I knew I was going to get it. But anyway, but that's the point. You've got to look to yourself first. You've got to get the problems in your life straightened out first before you can start helping other people. But we shouldn't use that as an excuse, though, not to help other people, okay? You still need to engage in that. But we got to be working on it. And it starts with mercy. God giving us mercy for our sins. And we all need mercy. But notice what the psalmist said. He says something very interesting here in the second half of the verse. As your custom is toward those who love your name. Wow! That is powerful. It is God's custom to show mercy toward those who love His name. What does that mean? It means He's constantly dishing it out, right? If something is a custom, then it's a deeply entrenched habit. If you say it's customary for me to go to the store and buy groceries on Tuesday, then I can say, you know, so-and-so, every Tuesday they go to the store and buy groceries. They told me it was customary for them to do that. That's a habit. That's a deeply entrenched habit, you see. That's what the psalmist is saying about God. Toward those who love God's name, God is merciful toward them. It's His custom to be merciful toward them. Think about what the Bible says about mercy and the desire for us to have mercy. In Titus 3 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul said that we've been saved not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And so God's mercy makes it possible for us to be forgiven of sins, and He pours that mercy out every day. It's customary for Him to be merciful toward us. But we've got to keep ourselves in the love of God, according to Jude 1 and verse 21, which then says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Yes, we've got to keep ourselves in the love of God. And that's what the psalmist says here too. His mercy is customary toward those who love His name. And that means that we've got to have an attitude toward God that is right, and we've got to be seeking after Him. So God's Word gives me direction in regard to my own personal sins. But the God's Word also gives me direction regarding how to prevent future sins. And God wants me to make an effort at doing that in my life, at preventing future sins. And we all should understand that, and we all should know that. We prevent sin by following God's direction. Look what He says here in verse 133. Direct my steps by Your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. When we let God direct our steps by His word, that's what makes it possible for iniquity not to have dominion over us. And we shouldn't want iniquity to have dominion over us. Remember earlier in this psalm, Psalm 119, verse 11, Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against You. And then verse 9 of this same psalm. How can a young man, or a young woman for that matter, cleanse his or her way? By taking heed according to Your word. God's word gives us direction for preventing sin in our life. And we want to prevent as much sin as we can within our life. Sin is hurtful. It's hurtful to us, and it's hurtful to other people as well. And of course, God takes offense at it. And so we want to prevent that in our lives. And so God's word gives me direction for preventing future sin. But then notice the third thing here in verse 134. God's word gives me direction for handling the sins of others. Verse 134. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep Your precepts. Yes, other people sin as well. And that sin turns into oppression in one way or another. And it's our attitude toward that, to a lot of degree, that will help us through it. And God will also help us if we will put our faith and trust in Him. There's times when other people do things that are just flat out wrong that they shouldn't do. And they do things to us that they shouldn't do. They may persecute us. They may cuss us out or something. They may, take negative action against us in some way. But God is there to help us. God has the ability to redeem us from the oppression of man. And that is largely up to us and our attitude. I've found a lot of times that if I try to do something about somebody else's misbehavior, and I'm not talking about somebody who's willing to change, I'm talking about somebody who is adamantly set against you. All right? If you try to do something about that, usually it just makes things worse. And the best thing to do in that circumstance is to turn to God, to go to God and let God handle it. And God has an amazing way of opening other people's eyes toward their own problems and toward the things that they do. Okay? You can't help somebody who doesn't want to be helped, all right? So there's some limits to what we can do. But if you think you can, if they think you'd be open to them, then you should go talk to them, obviously. Now, I'm not talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. We ought to always talk to one another. I'm talking about those who are outside of Christ in the church. And hopefully, there aren't any brothers and sisters in Christ that we need to be redeemed from their oppression, right? Certainly, that we hope that that would be the case. But nevertheless, within the body of Christ, we're given direction on what to do in that case. We are to go talk to our brothers and sisters in Christ. But I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about those who are outside of the body of Christ. But God gives us direction on handling the sins of others. He redeems us from the oppression of man's sin. And He gives us the best possible rule to follow. And that's the golden rule. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do you so unto them also. For that is the law and the prophets, Jesus said. So redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Remember also Matthew 6 and verses 14 through 15. And that's where Jesus said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your Father in heaven will forgive you your trespasses. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. And we've got to have that attitude toward other people as well. But when we do that, God will redeem us. He will redeem us from the oppressions of man. And I've seen it happen time and time again in my life. And I'm sure you, those older among us, have seen it happen in your life as well. And so God's word gives us direction in regard to the problem of sin. My sins, preventing future sins, and dealing with the sins of others. But then finally in this psalm, in verses 135 to 136, we see that God's word gives us direction regarding our attitude. Look at verse 135. He says, make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. And then 136, rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. And there are two attitudes that are displayed here. First of all, our attitude toward God. And secondly, our attitude toward those who do not keep God's law, or sinners, as we might say. Notice the psalmist desires God's face to shine upon him. This gives us a reminder of the great blessing that Israel was to bless one another with under the Old Covenant. That's found in Numbers 6 and verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. What a great blessing. We need to pray that blessing for one another, don't we? We need to have that good attitude toward God, that we would fall under God's blessings. When the face of God shines upon us, that means God's blessings are upon us. And the face of God can and does shine upon His church today through His Son, Jesus the Christ. All spiritual blessings in the heavenly places are in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And we need to remember that we are greatly blessed. You know, this morning in Bible class, we were thinking about the people of the first century. Paul made that statement that we looked at earlier in this lesson in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10, when he said that Jesus Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You know, sometimes I don't think we really appreciate the blessing that we have in Christ Jesus and the knowledge that he has brought to us. You know, before Jesus Christ came, basically what Paul is saying is that before Christ came, people struggled in ignorance and they had no idea the light that they could have, the immortality that they could have. They had no idea about those things. And they just faltered along, a lot of them did, in darkness in a lot of ways. And primarily they looked to God's law to kind of help them through life, and that was it. And what Jesus did was he revolutionized things in that he gave us something more to live for than just this life. And we, you know, the revolution was tremendous. And we, you see, we're on this side of the revolution, and we can't really appreciate how dark things were before Jesus came. And so we are greatly blessed. You know, we sing in our songs about heaven and the wonderful hope that we have for heaven. We sing about the tremendous blessings that we have in Christ and the knowledge that we have in Christ, the forgiveness of sins, all of that. You know, they didn't have a lot of that. They didn't think about that very much because everything was designed to remind them of their sins and to bring to their remembrance their sins. And so we, on the other hand, have the blessing of knowing some things, many things, that they didn't have the privilege and the blessing of being able to know. And that's such a great, tremendous help to us today, even though sometimes we take it for granted and we don't really realize how blessed we really are. But we need to understand that God's Word directs us. It directs our attitude, especially toward Him and the wonderful blessing that He is in our life. But then secondly, God's Word directs our attitude toward sinners. Look at, this is an amazing statement by the psalmist here in verse 136. He says, "Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law." It saddened him. It saddened him so much that people did not keep the law of God that he wept. He describes this weeping as being rivers of water. You know, not just tears, not just drops or droplets, not rain even, not even a small trickling brook, you know, but rivers, plural, of water. That's the depth of his sadness at men who do not keep God's law. And you know, we need to develop a sense of sadness within our life for those who do not keep God's law. Sometimes I think we kind of shrug it off, or sometimes I think we kind of make light of it and joke around about it. But really, it's so sad when people don't keep God's law. Listen to what Ezekiel wrote when he prophesied for God. God said to Ezekiel this, he said, "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel?" God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. We ought not to take pleasure in the death of the wicked. But we should echo the attitude of the psalmist here when he said, "Rivers of water run down from my eyes." Paul said in Acts 26 and verse 29, and here's a great attitude that Paul had. Remember, Paul was in chains when he said these words. He was on trial for his life. His execution was being contemplated. And he said this, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains." He said that to Agrippa, you know, who said, "Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian." And Paul said, "Not almost, but altogether I would have you do that." And that's really what we need to be contemplating when it comes to other people. We don't need to be looking at them as people that we should shun or people that we should, castigate or people that we should run down. But we need to be looking at them as people who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. They desperately need the help. They desperately need to keep the law of God. They desperately need to be not almost like Paul, but altogether like him. And so do we. We need that as well. Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. God's word gives us direction. It gives us direction for our soul so that we can focus our will to obey his commandments, so that our intellect can understand and know about life and the future of life, and so that our emotions are in the right place. God's word gives us direction for the problem of sin in regard to my sins, in regard to preventing sin, in regard to others' sins. And God's word gives us direction in regard to our attitude toward God and toward sinners. And God's word holds the answer to so many things if we would study it and internalize it and love it and quote it and treat it like it is the most precious thing that we own. It will revolutionize our life. It will turn us upside down. It will make us fantastic people. And that's what God wants. And so let's allow God's word to give us direction. Do you need to let the word of God give you direction tonight? Maybe you need to start down that path by giving your life to Jesus Christ, loving him, obeying him, listening to his word, believing him, repenting of your sins, confessing him as Lord, and being baptized as he commanded for the forgiveness of sins. Why not do that this evening and become a child of God? Perhaps you need prayer in your life so that the word of God can give you direction in your life, and you need to invest yourself more in God's word this evening, and you understand that and you want prayer to help you to do that. Then now you can make that request and we will pray with you and for you. And whatever your need may be, you can come and make that known now while we stand and while we sing.